First Kings chapter 18, please. All right, let's preach a little bit. Here we go. First Kings chapter 18. It's good to be here tonight, amen. And it's good to see everybody here. A lot of old faces I know. And Brandon, how you doing? You looking sharp, ain't you? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to leave him alone, amen. But it's good to be here. And Brother Manning, good to see you. And Brother Steve, and God bless y'all. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm honored to be here, and I mean that. And all them things he read about me, my wife wrote that, amen. And I wanted that recorded so I can send that to her to let her know how good I am, amen. But praise the Lord. I'm honored. I really am. I'm excited. A lot of times, and I mean this, whenever I get a call, somebody says, you want to come preach, I figure they have the wrong number. And so I give my daddy's number, and, you know, he's the man. And then my brother's number, and I know he's coming. And my two sisters aren't bad preachers. They're pretty good. And mama's the preacher of them all, amen. But I'm honored, and I mean that, and I'm excited about being here. Thank you for the good singing, the tremendous music here at this church. And I appreciate the good spirit. And I hope this week will just be a good time of refreshment for us as we get into the Word of God. I'm honored. I do pastor in Durham, North Carolina, Liberty Baptist Church. Been there a little over 2 years now, and time flies. And I'm honored to be with Dr. Miss Cox. I appreciate y'all. I preached my first full-time. I'd been traveling since I was 18 preaching. I don't know why God did that to churches, but been doing that since I was 18. And when I graduated from college, I was 21, and I'd gotten married and to Jenny. And, man, she's like the best ever. And praise God. If she can put up with me, amen, she's earning rewards daily. And praise the Lord. But my first, as far as full-time, I'd give my two-week notice. I'll never forget it. And I looked at my calendar, and I had one meeting. And it was on a Wednesday night at Brother Darrell Cox's church in Trinity Baptist Church in Moxville, North Carolina. And I was going to drive from Longview, Texas to Moxville, North Carolina, turn around, drive home. And, yeah, I was hoping that love offering is going to be really good. Say amen. Because I was giving my two-week notice. I remember, man, I was sweating bullets. And it's like, well, either God called you or he didn't. And I figured he didn't. Because ain't nobody else calling me, amen. And hear that, there's a lot of backslidden preachers didn't have God's phone number, amen. But, and I'll tell you, the right before we went, and I was scared to death. I'll never forget, Brother Cox called me, and he said, Scott, are you ready to come up here this mess? And I said, I am, preacher. I'm excited. I'm honored. I'm thrilled. He said, hey, where are you going? What's your schedule like after you leave us? And I said, well, hang on a second. Let me check that. I mean, you can't act like you're that desperate, amen. I'm hungry, but I'm not starving just yet. So I sat there for a couple seconds. I didn't want to give him too long. He might hang up. I said, well, it looks like, and before I could even get out of my mouth, he said, hey, if you're free, why don't you just let me help you and make some calls. And for 30 days, I stayed in North Carolina and preached all over that place. And from then on, God just started opening door after door. And maybe for 13 years, Preacher Cox just kept calling people for me. I don't know, but I appreciate that. Amen. I owe that man a lot. And preached my first funeral at Trinity Baptist Church. And during that month, we were there. Oh, Lord, I feel like Craig Bryan. He don't preach long. He talks slow. Okay, he probably only preached about 40 words, but took him forever to get it out. And that's the problem. But anyway, he's a good friend. I love him. But he ain't here, so I can pick on him. But I'll never forget that month while I was there, Preacher Cox called me in to the office, and I was doing some work around the church, and Steve and I, and just, well, I think we tore more things up and we helped. But he said, hey, I need your help. And I said, anything you need? He said, you're preaching a funeral tomorrow. I said, funeral? I said, hold up. I've never preached a funeral. I'm 21. I've only been married like a month. And I'm, you know, full-time evangelism telling the world how to handle all their problems, you know. And I said, I don't know what to do with a funeral. He goes, what are you talking about? You went to Bible college, didn't you? You did more than I did. You're preaching a funeral tomorrow. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. I had my file from Church Ed my last year. Man, I went back going through. Them guys didn't teach me nothing. Had every cotton pick and note. There wasn't one in there on how to conduct a funeral. And I said, preacher, give me some hints. What do I do? He said, oh, he said, this old boy, he said, he's saved, but that's about it. He said, he ain't never come to church. He said, he riding a motorcycle, got hit by a truck. He said, there'll be a lot of loss there. Preach him. And I said, okay, never forget it. Make a long story short. Went in there, place was packed. Okay, all the teens were at Carowinds. They were down a youth activity. So a lot of the adults were with them. The only fellow I knew from the church, preacher was out of town preaching. The only fellow I knew was playing the organ, Keith Hilton. And still leads the singing. Brother Keith was playing the organ. I'm sitting on the platform. I know no one out here. They don't know me. My feet don't even touch the ground yet. And I'm sitting there, and it hit me. I wonder if the PA's on. I have no idea why that came to my mind. And I looked at Brother Keith. He's playing the organ. I said, hey, Keith. He said, what? I said, is the PA on? Everybody's gone. He said, I don't know. He said, I'll go check it. I said, great. He said, can you play the organ? I said, I can't play the organ. And but anyway, we had a great time. Had folks saved, and folks came up and said, man, you did a great job. That's what I do. I do funerals, amen. And weddings, and I do bar mitzvahs, and I do it all. Well, let's preach a little bit. I don't do this much, but I'm going to try, amen. It's an honor to be here. Here we go, and to preach with my hero. I'm excited about this. 1 Kings chapter number 18, please. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to get right in and get right out so we can hear Dr. Cox preach. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I appreciate your pastor. Thank you for the kindness. Thank you for the room. Thank you. Somebody put a lot of goodies in there, and it was good. I ate one of the bananas, so I'm healthy. And then I ate like a whole row of them double-stuffed Oreos. Drank me four of them Diet Mountain Dew, so that balances it all out. Double stuffed. That's the way to do it. And y'all can say what you want to, but every word of fat in the Bible is in a good term. You don't find skinny in the Bible good term. I'm King James only. Anybody want to rebuke, stand on up, but you're not going to find, hey, whenever it's fat, it's good. So I'm going to double stuff it. Amen. I'm ready to preach. Here we go. 1 Kings 18, 32. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart. Boy, it's an amazing word right there. Not necessarily their physical. He'll get the physical presence if your heart's there. He said, you turn their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Father, would you help us tonight? Please give us the unction we need from on high. Lord, I will fail if I try to do this on my own. I need your touch. I thank you for the opportunity, and I am honored. Lord, you know my heart. I'm very honored to be here this week. And just to be at this church, the history of this place, unbelievable. Souls that have been saved and lives have been helped. Thank you for my friend, Dr. Bell, and his family. I love each and every one of them. Thank you for this church. I pray that you'd cleanse me of sin and self and hide me behind the cross. Bless my daddy at night. I pray that you touch his body and give him strength. I pray for Brother Bobby Robertson, my friend and my hero, and saying goodbye to his dear wife of 66 years. Would you touch him tonight and give him a special day? Pray for my wife and children back at the house. Keep them safe. Save the one that's nearest hell tonight. I don't know if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray they'll trust you. Would you reclaim the backslider and help us, as the song was sung, that we would pray. Our country needs it. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings 18, I love this text, and I'll be mindful of the time because there's a whole lot in here to preach. And I'm not a good preacher, don't claim to be. You're going to hear this week, my brother will be here. And if you've never heard him, he's my hero. He's my friend. And I'm going to preach the Bible and let him come. He doesn't have much Bible, but he's a good man. No, he's a good friend, and I love him to death. And you're going to enjoy him thoroughly and all the preachers. But I love this story in the Bible. Old Testament people, probably the prophets and the preachers, Elijah's at the top of my list. I look forward to meeting a lot of people in heaven. He's one that when everyone's done with the fluff and the crowds and all that, I hope I can get some time just sit down with him and say, can I ask you a couple questions? And some stories I like to hear, details. Have you ever heard a preacher tell a story and you think, is that true? You ever hear something? I was telling the church last night where Paul preached about the unknown God. And, you know, I was talking about stories about soul winner. If you're a soul winner, you know the stories are true, because as you go out, anything can happen when you're out soul winning. Those that don't go soul winning have no idea what we're talking about. And they sit there and go, that didn't happen. A soul winner will say, been there, done that, seen that, bought the t-shirt and video, and cops are still outside waiting on me. Amen. And that's just how it is. And I was telling about old brother Hatch. I was preaching with him up in Illinois one day, and we were sitting in the lobby of the hotel waiting on a ride. And he had just had his accident, and he was walking around with that cane. And this boy, about 18, 19 years of age, he had one of them little sweeper things, and he's going around the carpet there. And all of a sudden, brother Hatch, hey, boy, are you safe? And that boy stopped, looked at him. Sir? He said, are you safe? He said, safe? He said, you're going to hell, aren't you? Boy starts crying. I was there. He starts crying. You're going to hell, aren't you? And the kid's, yes. I'm like, what? He said, come here. Boy walks over, he said, bow your head, say, dear God. And the guy starts calling out on God right there. I thought, man, if I did that, they would run me out of this hotel. Elijah's one that I want to sit down with him one day, and I want to say, Elijah, talk with me. How did that story really pan out? I read it, and I didn't have the Hebrew, so I'm not sure how it all the words and all the smart people knew, but I had the good old English, and I read it. Tell me what it was like. Tell me what happened. I want to find out why he ran from Jezebel. Amen. How big was that woman? Amen. How mean was she? Was she ugly? Was she tough? What was the big deal? What made you run from her? I mean, you're killing 450 men. You got no business giving them a blocked haircut, but you can't deal with old Jezebel. I'm confused with that. But here, this story is unbelievable. In verse 38, he said, then the fire of the Lord fell. I wonder tonight as we pray for America. I wonder tonight as we ask God for revival. I wonder tonight as you pray, no doubt in your churches, as I do don't buy those CDs, every Saturday night. That's this year's. I told Preacher Cox, we ain't even got to preach. I already got the CDs made up. Amen. I am so sorry. But anyway, I want to find out here. Hold this one too. There you go. I wonder as we pray. I wonder as all of us, no doubt you Sunday school teachers, will go to an empty classroom on a Saturday night and you'll beg God for that class and you'll ask God and call those students' names out by name. No doubt you do every week. No doubt as you bus captains will get on your bus and you'll picture in your mind that little girl that sits on that seat and that little boy that sits there and that teenager that sits back there that stares out the window, that you know the problems that are in their life, and you beg God to fill this bus and you beg God to do something in their world and you beg God to change them. No doubt as you pray over your bus ride every week and you ask God to send the fire. No doubt every pastor in this room does what we all do on Saturday night as we walk through our buildings and we walk up and down every row and we think about the families that sit there and we ask God to do something big in their world and we ask God to change their heart and to change their life and we walk through our choir lofts and we stand where the singers will sing and we walk over every square foot of the building and ask God to send something and ask God to burn this place and send fire of revival. But I wonder what we would do if he showed up. The average church, if God showed up, would give him a visitor's card. Don't get mad at me. Y'all pray for me. If the Holy Ghost did show up, we'd get nervous when you just say Holy Ghost. Man, that's right.
We've let charismaniacs scare us so bad we don't even know how to handle it. You know, the Holy Ghost is real. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's just as real as any of them. And if he did show up, and if he did start moving, and if he did start doing something in our church, could we handle it? God changed me. Oh, I didn't mean that. Elijah said, send fire, and it fell. What would happen if our prayers got answered? That'd be scary. God, do something big. Whoa, I didn't mean that big. God, change our church. Well, man, he's going after 12. Man, I got to hurry up. Man, the Methodists are already at the cafeteria. We got to go. The fire. Here it is, the epic battle. Elijah versus Baal. God versus Satan. And let's just go through it here, man. We got to get into this thing. Look at verse 21, if you would. Just keep your Bibles open. I like to use the Bible when I preach. Verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I want you to see, by way of introduction, the indictment. He said, how long are you going to halt here between the two opinions? They're weighing out the evidence, if you will. They're not willing to take a stand. They're not willing to make a choice. And they're wondering, which side are we going to be on? And he said, I want to give an indictment to the people of God. Why are you thinking? Why are you trying to figure out which side you approve of? Why are you trying to figure out which side is good, which side is bad? Let me tell the young people, just stay right so you don't have to get right. And let's go ahead and just stay in this thing, because you only have one life. You might as well give every bit of it you have to God. You might as well reach every soul you can. You might as well reach everyone with the gospel. And the indictment was, how long? Then you'll find the issue, verse 21. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. He said, here's the issue. He said, it's either Baal or God. Didn't God say in Revelation, I'd rather be hot or cold? Yeah. Yeah. Brother Smith, he said, I'd rather you pick a side. He said, if Baal's God, then serve him. I have more respect for the one that'll just do what they're going to do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I have more respect for the one that'll get up in the middle of my message and go, no.
And out they go.
Okay, fine, it ain't for you. He said, if it's Baal, serve him. If it's God, serve him.
Amen.
And look at the issue. The issue is this. Who is God? Which one is it? And then the question is, who is God to you? As a little boy, God was dad's God. As a little boy, I'd watch my daddy preach, and nobody keep my attention like he would, because he'd kill you after church, but nobody keep my attention like he could. Funniest man ever lived. Toughest preacher ever lived. I remember going with him to every meeting I could. I'd skip school in summertime. I was in the car with him every Monday and Tuesday. Him and a preacher named Howard Hall from Shreveport, Louisiana, would drive almost every Monday and Tuesday, and I'd be in that car right with him. We'd go to services. I'd sit on the front row, man, and I'd watch my dad. I could tell you every joke. I'll tell you some tonight. And I'd tell you every illustration. I will preach a message, and I give it every, I mean, I heard it all. I knew it all. But that was his God. And then at the age of 10, it dawned on me I was on my way to hell and I needed a God. And then as I went through my teen years and I had to get some answers to prayer and had to get some things right with my God. And then when God called me to preach, and then when God brought in my wife, and then when God started doing things in my world, who is God to you? And young people, I know there's some things you may not understand right now. And there might be a lot of things the preacher preaches. You're sitting there saying, I don't get it all. Well, just hang on, because that God that belongs to mama, and that God that belongs to daddy, and that God that belongs to your preacher is the same God that'll belong to you. Oh, he's no longer just my daddy's God. And he's no longer just my mama's God. He's no longer just my brother's God. He's my God. And he'll answer my prayer. And he'll come into my world.
Amen.
He said, if it's Baal, serve him. If it's God, serve him. We don't have time, folks. You watch the news? Okay, don't watch too much of it. You'll get depressed. I don't care who you watch. Fox, NMMB, ABC, HDs. Don't watch any of them. I got ADD, HD. Y'all pray for me. Kids don't need medicine. I need medicine. Amen. But I mean, good evening. You could have died today.
sleep well. And then we got the craziest prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die. Really? You want your kid to pray that before he goes to bed? And, you know, good morning. You almost died. Good thing you didn't, but it could happen today. See you at 5 o'clock. You go to work all day long nervous and scared to death, and I'm blaming Obama, and I'm blaming the governor, and I'm blaming the mayor, and I'm blaming my kids, and I'm blaming my wife, and I'm blaming the preacher. I'm blaming everybody. Man, what in the world? Now, let's just remember there's a God in heaven that shakes about that much. He's not really nervous about who's running for what. You didn't vote him in and you can't impeach him. It really doesn't matter what you think about him. God's still on the throne. He's still alive. He's still real. And we'll be okay. Then I see the indecision in verse 21, the last part. And the people answered him not a word. Wow. I don't preach for amens because I preach in a lot of Baptist churches, amen. And I don't have to have amens to preach. I've preached to crowds of my family. Y'all preachers know what I'm talking about. But can you imagine Elijah? Now, I like amens. My daddy's always taught me amen doesn't make you spiritual, but it'll keep you awake. But can you imagine the great Elijah preaching a message? Can you imagine if Elijah walked through that door? I love the description of him. When they came back and the king said, who told you to come back here? Oh, we met a man. He said, you're going to die. What you up? He a hairy man. Duck Dynasty Baptist Church, man. He's a hairy man. He said he got a beard. He's just a hairy man. That was the first description of him. Elijah, the one, stands up to preach. And that's what it sounded like. He preached, man, he's shucking the corn. He's getting after it like a real preacher. Bless God. I mean, he's preaching up a storm. Finishes, and no one says a word. I preach meetings where I get done. Everyone's like, I mean, I got my tonsils hanging out. I preach so hard, and I'll have some dear sister. That was a great speech tonight. I appreciate that speech. Everything, that's a good speech. I want to run her over with a church bus and tell God she died of the smallpox. Speech. I just gave up 3 years of my life for a speech. That's a good speech you gave. Can you imagine Elijah, the man of the hour, preaching, and you sit there and don't do a thing? The indecision. Some think this attitude is Christian, and it promotes peace. Some think that silence is what we need, but the truth is, when it's right, somebody ought to speak up. No, it's not promoting peace. Peace does not come by toleration of evil. When if something is true, somebody ought to say something about it. And if the man of God has enough guts to say it, somebody somewhere ought to back him up. I want to know where the school of the prophets were, where them old boys at, where are they hiding at, where are they walking around at? How come somebody in there saying, well, Elijah, doesn't look like anybody's here, but I'm standing next to you. Can't grow a beard, but I'm right here with you. Amen. The indecision. I see the indictment, the issue, the indecision, but then I see the individual, verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. I appreciate this individual. I appreciate the one. Can I use this right here? I appreciate the one that is willing to stand. And let me just remind you, I don't want to preach against Elijah here too much, but be careful when you get that syndrome, if you will. There's all kinds of syndromes, so we might as well add one more. Be careful when you get that I'm the only one. Because that's why Elijah lost his office, because he made that statement too many times, and finally God said, okay, I'm done with that. There's a young man named Elisha. He's going to take your place. Since you're whining so much, sit down. I've got a boy that's going to take your place. I'm done with you. So forgive me, he's a great man, and I'm gonna be nice because he may still have that ability to call fire when I get to heaven. Amen.
But here it is, you better be careful. But I'm glad there at least was an individual that stood.
Amen.
It is one against 450. Those are not good odds in man's eyes. But when you have God backing you up, it really doesn't matter how many's on the other team. All that matters is I have God on my side. Amen.
Amen.
Then the Bible says, I love this, we must hasten, verse 23. He said, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Man, this is my kind of preacher. He said, I'm going to let the world buy both of them. That's pretty good. He didn't even buy his own bullock. He said, let the world buy both of them. They're dumb enough. They'll give us some kind of coupon. Amen. And let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, no fire under it. And I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on wood, put no fire. And call ye on the name of your little gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Look at this. And all the people answered and said, it is well. Now they woke up. Oh, somebody's going to win? I'm on that team. Isn't that how it goes? You let things start getting a little rocky in church, and all of a sudden... I don't know. If I stand up, then everyone's going to know. And what if it doesn't turn out? Okay, first of all, I don't stand for right because it's going to turn out.
Amen.
I stand for right because it's right.
Amen.
And here he is. He said, all right, here's the deal. You go buy the bullocks. You bring them here. You pick which one you want. I'm going to pick the other one. And the God that answers by fire. You know the story. They get their bullock. They cut it. They put it all in place. They start calling out. And the Bible says in verse 26, when they took the bullock given him, they dress it, called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. That's a long time. Isn't it sad that the world will spend more time praying to a false god than we who know our God? Don't get mad at me. Y'all pray for me. But has anybody ever prayed from morning till noon? I haven't. So, I mean, it's not a trick question. Don't bail on me just yet. I remember when I was a teenager, my daddy, we were having a big day, like all churches, you know, try to do a couple times a year. And I remember he wanted to have somebody praying around the clock, 24/7 for the week before the big day. And being a good spiritual teenager, you know, you like, oh, Ananias and Sapphira, you want people to see you. You know what I'm saying? Y'all okay? I know y'all don't have those in our church. I got a whole bunch of them. They like to be seen of men. And I remember sitting on that front row, and he said, who wants that 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. time right here? Spiritual one right here. 1 a.m. You got, mark it down, Daddy. I'll take that 1 a.m. spot. Good, Scott. He'll be down here praying 1 a.m. Can I tell you, God's here right now. Somebody else shows up churches at night. It ain't God. Churches are full of the devil at nights. Amen. You hear pianos playing, man. People singing, doors slamming. God help. It's bad. 1 a.m. I got in the car. I was 15 years of age, took daddy's van, drove down to the church, pulled in that big old parking lot, walked in that big old building, turned on every light there was. I was a man, singing Amazing Grace, casting out devils, praying, God, help me to live through this hour, amen. I turned on everything. I'll never forget it. Went down to the altar, Brother Cox, and I knelt down. I said, Lord, I got to pray for an hour. Man, I prayed for everything. Prayed for America, prayed for my family, prayed for the church, prayed for the members, prayed for the buses. I prayed for everything. Finished. Man, sweat drops of blood coming out. I mean, it's unreal. Looked at my watch and it had been a whole 3.5 minutes. I thought, an hour? I sat down in the front row. Never forget, I sat down in the front row. Well, I'm done. You got anything you want to say? And I'm so glad God didn't speak to me. I'd have died right there on that pew. Amen. Hour? Boy, I don't know how many times, though, through the years, I've gotten in my car, started driving, and all of a sudden it's an hour. God, I'm not done. I got to talk some more. God, I'm standing in line. I've blown it again. I'm very sorry. God, I've got a family in need. I'm so sorry. I've got to have your help. God, I can't let go. I'm not leaving until I get an answer. God, my son needs you right now. My wife needs you right now. Our family needs you right now. God, our church needs you right now. I wonder if anybody's as dedicated as these people. But there was no voice, shock, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. These guys are getting into it. And it came to pass at noon. I love Elijah. Look at this. Elijah mocked them. That ain't on TBN.
Can't you see old Elijah, hairy man, standing off to the side, picking that Egg McMuffin out of his teeth, reading the Israeli Today paper? He starts mocking them. They're standing up on top of their altar, dancing, praising. I mean, they're getting after it. And he said, hey, cry loud. Look what he said. Cry loud, for he is a God. Either he's talking. He said he's got a lot of people to talk to. Y'all are probably not the only sacrifice. He said he's probably talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or pre-adventure, he sleepeth. He said, I bet your God gets tired, because I'm sick of hearing y'all. He said, cry louder. And look what these crazy folks did. Verse 28, and they cried aloud. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't know your God. You do. But evidently, you've never heard from your God, so we'll try what he said. They jump up. They cry louder. Then self-mutilization sets in. They start cutting themselves. And here they are. And that's what happens when you get in the world, just crazy things. That makes no sense. Here they are, and then finally you see what happens. And I'm going to give you three thoughts here tonight, and I'm shutting it down. Number one, how are we going to see that fire? And I'm preaching tonight on the revival, or can the fire fall? Number one, we have to fix the broken. When it was all said and done, Elijah, look what he said in verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Number one, we have to fix the broken. With fixing the broken, I first of all see the invitation. Boy, I love that. He said, come near unto me. Can I tell you something tonight, believer? Truth loves to be investigated. Truth loves to be scrutinized. Truth loves to be looked at. God has nothing to hide in that book right there. We have no gimmick. I have nothing I'm trying to sneak people into church. We're not a cult. I'm not anything I'm trying to hide, and then you'll find out, no, this is who we are. It's what you get Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you don't like it, go down the road. But this is what we get in our house, bless God. And the invitation, Elijah said, come here. He said, come check it out. I love the invitation that's there. John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures. Hey, church, we need our Bibles open. We don't need them closed. I tell our people all the time, y'all do what you want to, but I tell our folks, if we ever have a preacher come in here and he says, close your Bible, look right this way, you better keep your Bible open. And I'll help him after the service. We're done with man's philosophy. God, help. We need a little bit of Bible. Wouldn't hurt if we had a little bit of Bible. Hey, man. Everybody okay? It's preaching time. Fix the broken. I see the invitation, and I also see the restoration. Look at the end of verse number 30. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, the Bible doesn't say that they repaired it. It said he repaired it. Elijah took it on himself. Wait a minute, did he break it down? But he repaired it. I think it was Ezra that, when he heard of the wickedness that was going on in his country, fell on his face. And if you'll read that chapter, Ezra chapter 9 sometime, he pulls out his beard, he plucks his hair. And the Bible says all through that chapter, God, our trespasses, forgive our sins. Ezra didn't do anything, but he took it very personal. If we're not careful, we spend our whole time in our churches whenever, okay, let's look at the controversy of our nation in the last couple weeks. We spend our whole time screaming about the world. When the truth is, you're looking at whose fault it is. It's my fault. Before you spend all your time on the job making everybody mad because of your political beliefs, one, have you ever prayed for your president? Have you ever prayed for his wife? Have you ever prayed for his children? Everybody okay? I didn't cuss. I said, pray. God help. Y'all look like I said something bad. You ought to be praying for him. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. I believe in prayer. Wouldn't it be good if we took it personal? God, it's my fault. Evidently, I didn't lead enough to Christ. Evidently, I didn't get the gospel out enough. Evidently, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, evidently it falls on us. You'll heal the land if your own people get right with you, and you'll take care of the sin if your own people get right with you, and you'll bring revival, and you'll heal every problem and disease we have if his own people will straighten up. Amen. Boy, we love street preaching and getting on everybody else. Wouldn't it be good if we did some self-preaching and take care of us? It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that needs revival. I'm the one that needs God. I'm the one that needs God to do something in my life. I see the restoration. The Bible says there in verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. You know, God does things for a reason. Elijah walks over and he picks up a stone and he goes back and he does it 12 times. Not everyone caught it, I'm sure, but there was somebody standing there that said, hold up. He does things on purpose. There's 12 of them. Hey, that's like old Reuben and Manasseh and Gad and Dan and Zebulun and Issachar and Asher, Levi, Ephraim and Benjamin. That's guys, that's Judah. That's us. I wonder what altars we need to repair. Yeah. Mom and Daddy, are there altars in the house we need to fix? Yeah. Come on. I go to my children every time. If I mess up, with the help of God, I want to keep it going. Hey, Daddy messed up, boys. Sorry. Let's get this right. The other day, I let something go on I shouldn't have. Went back and said, boys, I need to ask your forgiveness. Goof, that's not what we do in our house, and you know that. Dad's very sorry. We got to do some repairing. It wouldn't hurt if we repair some things in our churches. Repair some things in our lives. And he had to fix the broken. Can I say very quickly, number two, you have to fill the barrels. Boy, this is something. Look at verse 32. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Now, you know the story. He said, get me 4 barrels, fill it with water, pour it on there. Then he said, all right, go do it again. He did it the second time. All right, go do it again. Did it third time. Now, have you ever heard the preacher preach? You thought, that's good. And I like that. And then he says something, you're thinking, uh-oh. I don't think he heard what he said. We're going to reach the world? We can't reach the world. You mean we're going to have revival? We can't have revival. You mean kids can turn out right in 2015? Doesn't he know? It's 2015. These aren't the good old days. I'm so sick of hearing that. I was preaching a meeting not too long ago, and this guy's preaching before me. Man, he's letting me have it. He goes, Brother Gray will be here in a minute. He's happy, happy, happy. He'll be here in a minute. That's all he is, happy. He said, wish we had the good old days. So I got up and said, I like to be happy. I'm a positive kind of guy. But your good old days, really, where you legalized abortion? Your good old days where you took prayer out of our schools? Really good, man. Thank you for that. Great days. Changed our country forever. Come on, man. He said, fill the barrels. Can't see somebody going, oh, with what? Water. Oh, okay, he's getting ready. There's going to be a fire. Fill them barrels, boys. And Elijah said, now pour it on the altar. Elijah, excuse me, I'm not trying to tell you how to pastor the church or anything, but I've never been a Boy Scout. I don't know about fire, and I don't know about altar. You're the man. You're the man. You're the man. But you don't put the water on first. Just want to let you know that. I've been to Bible college, see, and I got me a degree. And that's what they taught us there, so I want to come back and teach you how to run your church because I went there, see, and they taught me, and so I know now you don't do it that way. Just want to change that order of service. Water goes after. Got to change that around. And he said, you're right. Fill it again. Now them sons of the prophets are backing up, saying, hey, Elijah's lost his mind. Do it again. Now we have 12 barrels of water. Why are we doing this? One, to make you depend on God. Amen. See, if we do it all ourselves, aren't you glad God took 12 nobodies? Yeah. One of them didn't make it, but the rest of them did a pretty good job. I mean, one's cussing, then he's preaching. Fishing naked, and then 3,000 are getting saved. My kind of guys. You don't deserve to pastor a church. You're exactly right. I have no right to be there. But God sure has a sense of humor. I have no idea. Evidently, he ran out of people and had a spot. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling you right now, there's a God that says, hey, I want you to depend on me. Quit depending on yourself to sing the special, because it will do nothing if you're depending on your talent. You better depend on God. Every time you preach the word, every time you teach the book, every time you win a soul, every time you do anything for the glory of God, let it all be done for him. Then he wanted to help them deal with their doubt, because if you remember, they didn't answer a word. He said, I'll give you an illustration you'll never forget. Where do you get the water? It's been dry for a long time. You remember, he's over by that brook. I believe those barrels of water came from his own savings. I believe he wanted to show them, I'm so serious about this. Take what I have and dump it over there. Can't you see him? Say, why are you doing this? Because I believe God. Amen. But wouldn't it be good if we had a few saints that just spent their time on this earth believing him? Amen. It takes me to my last point. We need to focus on the beyond. In verse 35, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. They walked in the service and went, man, our preacher is crazy. I heard people tell this to my dad, and I never got it till now. But all the time they say, preacher, be nice. My family's here today. You ever get that? Whatever you do, don't say anything about that religion. Whatever you do, stay off of that subject. And I'm like, why'd you tell me that? Because now it's there. And what's there is going to come out here. You better hope it's clean. Amen. They're walking around, man, water's everywhere. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, can I tell you, first of all, you need to focus beyond your present circumstances. He's walking around in mud. I mean, their sandals are covered. It's like, Elijah, amen. Guys, y'all ready for fire? Yeah, right. We're going to have a big day. I bet we are. A big flop. There's no fire going to happen here. Elijah said, isn't that great? It can't happen. That's my God. He's the God of the impossible. It can't happen. God says, great. That way I can prove it's me. Because no man will get the credit. Elijah had no torch. Elijah had no gasoline. Elijah had no tricks up his sleeve. He had no idea how he's going to make this thing work in his present circumstances. But God's saying, your present condition. Because he said there in verse 36, he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Boy, he's praying on everybody now. You preachers ever preach and then doubt at the same time? We can do it. In the back of your mind, you're, oh, dear God, I hope we can. Hey, you ever pray in your prayer closet, believer, quoting verses back to God? God, you said in your word, and you even misquote it. And God's like, nah, that's not what I said. I said this. But I hear what you're saying. I got intercessory. We're helping you out. Don't worry about it. You guys can't even get the King James right. We're okay. I'm quoting it for you. It's okay. I'm getting it. God, I got to have your help. He said, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. And this was your idea. Amen. Actually, he said, I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Thou hast turned their heart back again. You need to focus on the beyond your present circumstances, your present condition, and your present critics. Because you know, there's still 450. They haven't gone anywhere yet. They're still there, and no doubt they're making fun. No doubt they said, hey, Elijah. I can see one of them. They cut themselves so much, the Bible says the blood was gushing out. That's how crazy they got. I think he probably just put them out of their misery. He's helping them. He said, I'm going to go ahead and help y'all out with this. You look like you're hurting. Let me end it. He looked past the mud, he looked past the critics, he looked past it all, and he focused up a little bit higher. And he said, God, if you don't mind, I sure could use some fire right now. The Bible says, fire of the Lord fell.
Can I ask you this as I close? One, are you ready for the fire? Are we ready for it? Have we repaired some things? If God were to come to your house tonight, would you be ready? My wife has a cleaning disorder. She's got that. I mean, if dust falls, she's diving over the coffee table. No. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night to go pray. Yeah. I come back, the bed's made. Hey, baby, what are you doing? I thought you were up. I'm coming back to bed. Calm down. Go home for lunch, hang your suit coat on the chair. She senses the dry cleaners. Like, what are you doing? I'm glad she does. It beats starting a dozer to get through the house. Amen. I don't know where I was going with that, but I was headed somewhere. Oh, getting ready.
Yeah.
If God were to come to your house, what would you have to change? We have people at our house all the time. All the time. I love it. Love it. All the time. I mean, we'll have crowds. I just tell all the teenagers, come on over. All the deacons in your families, come on. I mean, we just pack it out. They're everywhere. Might as well enjoy them while we got them. Amen. Amen. Boy, my wife will say, baby, give me a minute. Well, you better hurry. They're coming over. She'll straighten up. It's already clean. How much more can you do to that? And she lives with all men, so to us, it looks good. Boys, y'all clean your room? Yep. What's that mean? They close the door. You can't see it. It looks good. I wonder how ready we are for that fire to fall.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, don't you know I read my proverb today? God owes me. I tithe. He better pay everything I owe. Don't you know I'm a good person? Nah, we better get cleaned up. We better depend on God. We better focus a little bit higher. I know we have troubles. We all do. I know we have heartaches. We all do. I think of the dear family that said goodbye to a loved one. I think of many just this week that I heard that had to say goodbye. Oh, that's heartache. That hurts. Aren't you glad you can lift your eyes a little bit higher to a big God that knows how to care for it? Father, thank you so much for tonight. Bless the remainder of this service. May we be ready for the fire to fall. I love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.